You're listening to the Armed American Radio Network, brought to you every week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. And now, your host, Mark Walters.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's put another 2 hours of Armed American Radio in the history books. And an outstanding one it's going to be tonight. First off, I'm your host, Mark Walters, a.k.a. the Ordinary Guy columnist with Concealed Carry Magazine. And the program is brought to you every week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. I understand tonight we are being listened to in Liberal, Kansas on KSCB. Welcome to everybody in Liberal, Kansas. You are on the Armed American Radio Network, and we are glad you're with us tonight. The numbers, should you wish to participate in this evening's show, 877-956-9566. That's 877-956-9566. Email. Care to email me live on the program this evening? You reach out to me at mark@armedamericanradio.org. mark@armedamericanradio.org, and we'll read your email live on the air. We got one heck of a lineup tonight, everybody. Mark Craighead from Crossbreed Holsters will be with us in just a few minutes. Learn an awful lot about some of those inside-the-pant holsters that they sell. Really good stuff if you're looking for another method to carry your handgun and conceal it very effectively. Mark's got a lot to tell us. The two gentlemen, two hosts, was supposed to be three. We'll get to that in just a second. But Mr. Rob Pincus and Mr. Mike Janich, the nationally televised host of The Best Defense Survival on the Outdoor Channel, will be joining me in just a few minutes as well. And Michael Bain, their co-host, was supposed to join, but unfortunately Michael's flight schedule got a little bit mixed up, as they tend to do sometimes, and he is now on his way to Chicago. He may be calling in the second hour of the program. So those guys are going to stick with us for the first hour. Coming up on the second hour tonight, Mr. John Higgs, my copy editor at Concealed Carry Magazine and author of the Bug Out book. John will be joining me for the hour, and after he comes on the first segment, the master himself, the godfather of concealed carry, Mr. Masad Ayoub, will be joining us. So it's going to be a dynamite program. Let's get things cracking here real fast. I've got a couple emails in here, actually three of them, that I wanted to get out to everybody tonight. Some of this stuff coming in is very, very important. We've been being bombarded with emails here recently. Number one, this one comes into us from Gary in Florida. It says, Mark, awesome show by a great American. Thank you. Well, Gary, thanks for that comment. There's a lot of folks out there doing a lot more than me, and I can guarantee that. I'm going to read one here in just a second. I'm a member of USCCA and a proud NRA life member and blessed by God to be an American. The healthcare debate has really brought out the passion in Americans to be proactive in voicing their objections and concerns. The effect it has had on steering legislation being forced at us affects our rights has been measurable. I pray that when, not if, it comes to time to stand up in defense of the Second Amendment rights, Americans realize the impact that our direct involvement will have on protecting our rights. Americans cannot just sit and watch the stripping of the Constitution that so many have given their lives to protect. Our voice must be heard with urgency and resolve. Keep up the great work. That's Gary in Florida. Gary, let me tell you something. The socialist in chief and the Democrats in Congress ignore Americans at their own peril, their own political peril, my friend. 2010 is going to be very fun to watch. Fun indeed. If yesterday's rally wasn't enough, and these people's eyes aren't open, they better start paying attention to what's going on out there. People are angry. Number two, had a little email transaction here from Frank Daly up in Ohio, and it went like this. Mark, I just received my CCW license, and I began listening to the Buckeye Firearm Station at Armed American Radio for about a month now. I really enjoy both stations. The only thing I do not like is when you downgrade a person's name, like the president or any other person who does not agree with you. You seem knowledgeable in what you do, and I do not think that you need to downgrade someone's name just to get your message across. I replied to Frank and asked him, I told him, Frank, thanks for the email. Can you be more specific? I look forward to hearing back from you. I wanted to see exactly what he was referring to, and I got the following very nice response. It says, Hi, Mark. Thank you for answering my email. To be more specific, I was listening to the September 6th broadcast, and in that broadcast, you referred to President Obama and the people that work or agree with him as sheep. I understand what you were trying to get across, but in my opinion, it made you sound like a man who, if you did not agree with me, your ideas are wrong, and I'm going to downgrade you, which turns me off. I think that we as CCW license holders can still get our message across without downgrading a person that does not believe or see the way we do. I know when someone disagrees with me and they start to diminish me, I tune them out or walk away. I'm not trying to tell you how to run your show, and I think, Mark, you're doing a good job. But think how you feel when someone diminishes you and how you feel. Thank you, Frank. First of all, I would like to mention what he was referring to. I believe Frank was referring to when I referred to Obama last week as Obama. And that comment was really about the mainstream media following him around like a sheep herder. So I was my intent was not to downgrade Obama, although I do not like Obama, and I believe he to be a socialist in chief. I was really throwing my weight back at the mainstream media, who I believe to be the most dangerous entity in this country. Having said that, we will move on to probably one of the neatest emails I've ever gotten, and I'll read this now. Mark, I would like to thank you for the kind words you gave myself and my brother Samuel and Daniel Rouse on the 816 broadcast. We really like the show and download and listen to it as often as we possibly can, but we have been pretty busy preparing for deployment on the 18th of this month, so we can't always catch the program. I wanted to thank you for a great show and was excited to be able to listen to the first two-hour broadcast live last week with my dad and grandfather while I was home for pre-deployment leave. I am including a picture of myself that I thought you would like and also one of our platoon. Keep up the great work, and we hope to be listening as soon as possible or as often as possible. Thanks again, Lance Corporal Samuel Rouse, 1st Light Armor Recon Battalion C Company, 11th Marine Expeditionary Unit. Folks, it's an email like that that makes 2 hours on a Sunday night worth every minute. This man is a hero, and if anybody's been listening to the broadcast for a while, you can remember back on 8/16, I read an email from his father. And in that email, he mentioned his two sons. So to know that the three of them were listening to the broadcast out there in California, and to get an email like this means an awful lot to me. The photographs that he sent of himself in full battle gear and his entire platoon was an amazing thing to see. So you guys stay safe out there. We have asked Samuel to call the program tonight and welcome him on the air. I've been notified by his father that he is, in fact, flying back to San Diego, preparing for his deployment. If he can make it back in time during the two-hour broadcast, we hope to hear from him, so keep your fingers crossed. It would truly be an honor to speak to an American hero who is keeping yours and mine safe. Samuel, thanks for that. That means a lot. Okay, we're going to get over to the meat of the program tonight. First, thanks to Sean on the boards for us tonight. Bang up job. And we want to get over to Mark Craighead. Mark Craighead is with Crossbreed Holsters. Mark, welcome to Armed American Radio, my friend.
Good evening, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Really well tonight. And I wanted to, you know, we cover so many topics on this show. And one of the things that we try to do for people is to let people know what's available to the concealed carry market out there and how people can effectively conceal their weapons. You guys have got a dynamite product at Crossbreed Holsters. Can you tell us a little bit about it and what's different?
Well, probably our flagship holster and what we refer to as the world-famous Super Tuck is our Super Tuck inside the waistband holster. It's very much what I would consider to be a working holster. Not terribly fancy, hand-tooled or anything like that. Not that there isn't a place for those, and I certainly admire, you know, some of the art that goes into some of the handcrafted leather stuff out there. We do make our holsters by hand, but it's definitely a function over form design, intended for concealed carry and inside the waistband design, and they just keep taking the market by storm. I started the company with that particular holster with a few revisions now in 2005 in my garage, and it's just grown ever since.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, we've talked quite a bit prior to the show this evening, and you know, I had almost all but sworn off of inside the waistband carry. It was just not real comfortable for me, and because of it, and I've carried in some really quality holsters. I've got a Galco, you know, the horsehide Royal Guard, which I think mm-hmm. is a great piece.
Good unit.
Excuse me. However, the comfort factor for me, it just didn't seem to work 100% of the time, depending on what I was wearing. And I spoke with you, and we've tried a couple Super Tucks, and I got to tell you, I owe you a debt of gratitude because you've actually opened up my wardrobe for me for inside the pant carry. It really is that good.
We hear that quite a bit. part of the impetus behind the design of the Super Tuck was it had to meet three criteria. Once I had gotten my permit, and I'd been carrying for quite some time in various capacities, I just finally got to the point that I just wasn't happy with what you know, the common offerings, so to speak. I had to hit three things, and I went about, you know, making that happen. One, it had to conceal completely in various clothing and without having to make a huge wardrobe adjustment. Two, it had to be comfortable. And three, it had to be easy to draw from and maintain one-handed reholstering.
Okay, so, Mark, I'll tell you what. Hang with us for just a minute. We're going to bring you right back after the break and let everybody know a little bit more about it, okay? Stick with us. We'll be right back, everybody.
Going into battle, you would want all the ammunition for your gun you could get. But presently, ammunition and reloading supplies are in shortage. Now think about this. If you have no food, all the guns and ammunition will be useless against the population control breadlines. In the present battle for freedom and the lives of your loved ones, food is your most important and only true ammunition. How much do you want? When do you want it, now or after the battle starts? When will you need it? Will you buy it without proper identification? Will it make your children sick? Quarantine? Will you feed yourself or go to the gathering center for immunization? All of these problems disappear if you have a good supply of storable food. Food is your ammunition to fight for your freedom and your life. How much will you need? We don't know. How much do you want? All you can get. Storable food puts you in control. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, eFoodsDirect.com. Call 800-409-5633.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you are faced with the decision to pay your mortgage or your credit cards or buy groceries, then this message is for you. The real solution to solving your problem with credit card debt is to reduce the amount you owe to creditors. The less you owe, the more money you will have for more important things in life. Strategic Resources wants to give you information about all your options for free. In a simple 5-minute phone call, you can find out which programs work best for your life now. 800-981-9371. 800-981-9371.
Hi, my name is Shirley Van Heest. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Andy Willoughby's three-step plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the three-step plan, I saw the value of it, and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy, and if we can set ourselves up in business, and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, and now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
Oh, man, I am going to confuse the daylights out of everybody out there in Armed American Radio Land tonight. I am your host, Mark Walters. First of all, I want to apologize, but you got a free 10 minutes of an old broadcast about 10 weeks ago because sometimes things built by human hands break, but things that break can be fixed, and they're fixed, and we're back. The doctor is back in the house. Your prescription for Armed American Radio has been filled. I would like to welcome our newest listeners, KNZZ in Grand Junction, Colorado, 1100 AM. 10 minutes late, but you are on the Armed American Radio Network. Olympia, Washington, Megatalk, KGTK, 920 AM. A few minutes late, but you are on the Armed American Radio Network. Silverdale, Washington, Megatalk, KITZ, 1400 AM. A few minutes late, but you are on the Armed American Radio Network. So you got a free 10 minutes of some unscheduled talk. Great stuff it was, too. Go back and listen to it on the podcast if you want to pick up the rest of the program that you were enjoying a few minutes ago. Because of that little technical difficulty there, I'm not going to be able to get into some of what I wanted to talk about at the opening of the program. I wanted to welcome our newest affiliates and our newest listeners because we are marching across the United States. We're adding new cities by the week, and it is truly humbling and a tremendous experience. And thank all of you for your participation. We appreciate it. Armed American Radio is on a roll, and it's on a roll because of you. Thank you so much. Folks, we have got one heck of a show tonight, and the 10-minute little deal or 15-minute little deal there, we're not going to let that throw us off. A little bit of adversity never bothers us here. We pick up by our bootstraps and move forward. McDonald versus Chicago. Let's play ball. Was the phone call I got and the message that was left to me by my good friend, Mr. Jim Irvine of the Buckeye Firearms Association, last week when, It's Sunday. We can say last week when the Supreme Court agreed to take the case. The first people that came to my mind are good friends of Armed American Radio. They have been on this broadcast a number of times and will be repeatedly, but I can't think of anybody else better suited to talk about the McDonald case and a number of other things facing us right now as gun owners in the wake of the Supreme Court's decision to take that, then Mr. Dane Von Breichenruckart, the president of the U.S. Bill of Rights Foundation, who joins me now live on Armed American Radio. Mr. Von Breichenruckart, welcome to the program. I apologize for that little goofy thing there that you were hearing in your telephone. Are you with us?
Mark, I am. That's okay. How you doing?
I'm doing great, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you. So I want to get right into the meat of what's going on here.
Okay.
Obviously, the Heller decision, and we hope that Mr. Heller will be calling in and joining this conversation in a little bit. Understand that he had to work this evening. And if he has the opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dick Heller, who laid the foundation for where we are today, will be calling to join into this broadcast. And when he does, we'll let you know and let him say hello to everybody across the United States. Dane, let's set the stage. The Heller decision in July of last year did what to put us where we are today? And just so everybody, we can start from beginning here from scratch.
Yeah, the original Heller case, the decision in Heller versus District of Columbia, District of Columbia versus Heller, insofar as what's going on with the current case on incorporation, the main issues is one that it was an individual right, that the so-called collective right theory was dismissed, and the court did rule that it was an individual right. And that even besides that, they said that because of that and other reasons, that any kind of a blanket gun ban of any sort was unconstitutional, with the exception of those weapons that have, mass destructive weapons and that sort of thing. But for the most part, it was that it was an enumerated right because it's the Second Amendment, and that it has a certain element of being fundamental, which is really what's going to be decided in this case, and that that's pretty much where we are. And from that, and bear in mind that because this case took place in a federal enclave like the District of Columbia, it could, in the, being that the Second Amendment is still today, as we speak, is unincorporated under the doctrine of incorporation under the 14th Amendment, which is what we're trying to accomplish. It was only a matter of time from the Heller decision that we were compelled, that everyone who had an interest in this was compelled to go to the courts and say, okay, now given the findings in Heller, it sounds like to me that this is a fundamental right and it should be incorporated under the 14th Amendment, and particularly under the Privileges or Immunities Clause. I am not a champion of the going the route of the due process, because it would be a substantive due process, which is a term that I don't like, and I don't like the way it happened, and it was kind of born out of a bad decision in the slaughterhouse cases. And so I do think that we should have it incorporated, but it should be incorporated under the privileges or immunities rather than through any other process like substantive due process.
I'd like to read Section 1 of the 14th Amendment, if I could. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of laws. So that's what we're talking about here.
Yes, and being that we prevailed in the District of Columbia, and it only supposedly having force within the district to those who live in the federal territory, then it's unfair to all the other citizens out in the hinterland and all the other states that they should not have the same protection. So once they made that decision for the District of Columbia, it holds that it would be inconsistent. I mean, I am not at all concerned that we're not going to prevail in this. My only concern is, are we going to do it under the Due Process Clause, or are we going to do this under the Privileges or Immunities? And I think that for a multitude of legal reasons, and even reasons that are outside Second Amendment issues, it would be very important for this court to land this and form this around privileges or immunities.
Okay, Dane, in layman's terms, because I'm a layman, the decision about to come down in this case, I guess they're going to start hearing arguments prior to December, and of course we won't hear a decision for a very stressful 6 or 7 months into the first of after the first of the year. But what's going to happen here is that the rift between the Ninth Circuit and the Seventh Circuit is going to be repaired. Is that correct?
Yes, that's a good way to put it. You could say that. It's a little bit more involved than that, because as you know, the Ninth Circuit also agreed to hear en banc, you know, which means the entire members of the court, even though the first panel of three agreed unanimously in the Nordic case that the Second Amendment is incorporated, and of course that set it off. There is some speculation that what might happen in en banc is that they might change their mind, but there's still enough.
Okay, Dane, I need you to hold that thought. I see another line blinking. I'm hoping it's Mr. Heller. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around with us. We're back live on Armed American Radio with Dane von Breichenbruchart right after these messages.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
The credit card companies have received government bailouts, and you're still struggling to make ends meet. If you are behind on your credit card payments, call for powerful, free information and consultation from Financial Freedom of America. The facts are, Financial Freedom of America can show you how to cut your credit card debt in half, and the credit card companies are willing to negotiate for less than what you owe. So now is the time to act. If you need a partner to work on your behalf, call now to get maximum savings off your debts. Financial Freedom of America settled over $27 million in credit card debt last year alone. They can do the same for you. It all starts with a free 10-minute personal and confidential consultation. There is no cost or obligation to find out about this life-changing program. Individual results may vary, not available in all states. So call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191. If you need a personal bailout, call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191.
Hi, my name is Shirley Van Heest. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Andy Willoughby's three-step plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the three-step plan, I saw the value of it, and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy, and if we can set ourselves up in business, and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, and now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Some good hard-hitting music there. We are back on Armed American Radio. I am your host, Mark Walters, the Ordinary Guy columnist with Concealed Carry Magazine, a flagship publication of the USCCA, U.S. Concealed Carry Association. Check us out at usconcealedcarry.com. We have Mr. Dick Heller on line two, and we're going to get to Mr. Heller right now because we know he's going to be a little short on time. Mr. Heller, it is always a pleasure to welcome you to Armed American Radio and to call you a friend. Welcome back to the broadcast.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well,
go ahead.
I was going to say the pleasure is all ours, and I know you're short on time, and I wanted to have the listeners have the opportunity to get your opinion and find out your mood from the Supreme Court taking this McDonald case, since you laid the groundwork for all of this. And a huge hats off and a thank you to you.
What I think happened is I took my finger out of the dike, and then we got a floodgate of cases. It's up around the neighborhood of 100 now, if not more.
Isn't that something? And you know,
awesome.
Every time we talk, we seem to add something else to the till. And it is truly amazing, the floodgates that this thing opened up. And I'm going to echo Dane's comment that I feel real comfortable about this case because of some things that he said to me prior to the broadcast over the weekend, and I'll let him explain that to the listeners. But I know that you're at work, and I appreciate you calling in very, very much. You're welcome to stick around with us as long as possible and join in on the conversation, or we'll let you go so you can go back to doing what you're doing. But thank you so much for everything you've done, the efforts that you've made, and for allowing all Americans to be where we are today relative to our rights, even in the face of some very, very difficult political...
Well, you know, I love where I'm working now. The building is empty. The doors are locked. I have a stack of research and reading material, and I can't walk down the street with my own gun, but they give me a gun here.
And you will walk down the streets with your own gun in the district in the future, because everything that you started 15 years ago, and I want our listeners and our newest listeners across the country to know, not that they haven't followed you, but they haven't followed this broadcast, and it's important to know that the last time you were on this program that you made it, you reminded us that you've spent 15 years, a quarter of your life on this, and we owe you a debt of gratitude that can never be repaid. It's been a long time and a very long, hard-fought battle.
Well, when you have something you're passionate about, an issue that you really throw yourself into, it was like 5 years, oh, we're still going. 5 more years, no big deal. We keep going. And then now 15 years after the Supreme Court decision, it's still not a cakewalk yet. You know, I thought I'd say, oh, man, we won. I'll go register my firearms. And they just throw up hurdles every step of the way, and I really get mad. The lawyers, it's in their hands now, because they've seen the gun grabbers, the freedom killers, they've seen the evidence. They know when you have more citizens armed, there's less crime. And for me, you know, I'm just a working guy, and my philosophy and psychology doesn't go very deep, but with all the evidence that's out there in the Supreme Court decision, it seems to me that now anyone that's opposing our freedoms, it's with malice aforethought, and they should not be given sovereign immunity from the challenges they're giving us, and the money, the public money they're spending, and the private money we have to spend to haul them into court.
Yeah, and it's because of you and because of the attitude and the position that you took years ago that we are where we are today. It has in a number of conversations that you and I and Dane have had over the last 12 months since we met in the SHOT Show in Orlando almost a year ago, if you can believe that. It's coming up so fast. It's been that long ago. But in many of those conversations, we think and we talk about what's occurred since then. And I think the one that's foremost in my mind is 233 years. What in the world has taken so long? And why is it taking so long? And Dane answered it once just beautifully. And I know he's on the phone with us now, but he said, you know, the Supreme Court doesn't move that quick. It's just an amazing time in our lives to see all of this come together. And we'll talk with Dane a little bit more in detail about what we think is going to happen with McDonald. But, you know, thank you for everything that you've done. It's very inspiring.
Thank you. Anybody could do this, you know. You have to be looking, you have to be prepared, and then opportunities fall in your lap. It's the same with anything you're doing.
Well, I'm going to read you something, and Dane, I want to get your opinion on this. This is the press release from Paul Helmke of the Brady campaign. And it's did you read this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Post.
Let's read this to the entire nation right now, at least 9 states, soon to be 12 and 15 and eventually 50. Paul Helmke, president of the Brady campaign, or Brady Center to Prevent Gun Violence, issued the following statement. It is not surprising that the U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to consider whether it's new definition of the Second Amendment. It's new definition of the Second Amendment. Dane, I'm, you know, this stuff makes my blood boil reading it. But it says whether its new definition of the Second Amendment applies to states and localities as well as federal enclaves. The so-called incorporation issue in the city of Chicago case. Since the day the Supreme Court first held that individuals have a right to guns in the home for self-defense in District of Columbia versus Heller a year ago, we expected that the court's next step would be to resolve this issue. The Chicago case is unlikely to have much practical impact on most gun laws, regardless of how the court rules. Even if the court were to hold the Second Amendment applicable to states and localities, such a ruling is unlikely to change the crucial holding by the Supreme Court in Heller that a wide range of reasonable gun laws are presumptively constitutional and that the Second Amendment right is narrowly limited to guns in the home for self-defense. Since the Heller decision, the gun lobby and criminals have brought at least 170 challenges to gun laws or to block criminal gun prosecutions. With only a handful of exceptions, those challenges have failed. Now, you can pick this apart. First of all, the Supreme Court's new definition of the Second Amendment, that's mind-boggling. Let's start there. Dane, have at it.
Yeah, well, of course, you know, what he's saying is that because, you know, the law's been so dormant since Miller, and he's talking about the Miller case, I'm presuming, and that in Miller, first of all, Miller didn't show up. His attorneys didn't show up. The guy was a bad client to begin with. He had a criminal record. He ended up getting shot to death when he got out of he was not represented before the court. The court heard it essentially ex parte. The attorneys did not come to argue. There was some sort of a brief that would have had to have been filed. And so essentially what everybody was doing was clinging on to their view of what they thought the Miller decision said. And in fact, that's wrong. And, you know, we could get bogged down into that old tired argument again about whether it was a collective right and was based upon whether or not the gun was suitable for military use or not. You know, well, the thing is, the court only addresses those things that are brought up. The court usually doesn't go expeditionary into other areas. They limit their decisions to what's put before them. So trying to say that Miller was a definitive interpretation of what the Second Amendment meant is just misleading and dishonest, and it's, you know, it doesn't do anybody any good. There's no new definition. Miller covered a very narrow issue that was brought up by the defense, and then the federal government came in and did what it did, and it was a very narrow, very limited, very uninformed decision that they made. We've had nearly 70 years of time to think about it and for people to do scholarship and to pull it up, and we've come up with what is now is the acceptable model. And essentially what Justice Scalia did is that he got into the history and the background. In fact, I think it was one of the most scholarly decisions that I've seen in a very long time, and he made it very clear as to you know, what was the history, the intent, and the meaning of the Second Amendment. And there was nothing new about it. In fact, just tons and tons and tons of literature that had been written in the 70 years since Miller up until this case clearly stated the position that Justice Scalia stated. So,
yeah, well, Helmke's a bonehead. We know that on this program. We've said that before, and he's welcome to come on and refute that if he wants to. I see a call from Roger here. When we come back from the break, we're going to bring him in. So, Roger, stick with us. You have a question about the courts? Stick around. Don't turn the dial. We'll be right back.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you are faced with the decision to pay your mortgage or your credit cards or buy groceries, then this message is for you. The real solution to solving your problem with credit card debt is to reduce the amount you owe to creditors. The less you owe, the more money you will have for more important things in life. Strategic Resources wants to give you information about all your options for free. In a simple 5-minute phone call, you can find out which programs work best for your life now. 800-981-9371. 800-981-9371.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
The credit card companies have received government bailouts, and you're still struggling to make ends meet. If you are behind on your credit card payments, call for powerful, free information and consultation from Financial Freedom of America. The facts are, Financial Freedom of America can show you how to cut your credit card debt in half, and the credit card companies are willing to negotiate for less than what you owe. So now is the time to act. If you need a partner to work on your behalf, call now to get maximum savings off your debts. Financial Freedom of America settled over $27 million in credit card debt last year alone. They can do the same for you. It all starts with a free 10-minute personal and confidential consultation. There is no cost or obligation to find out about this life-changing program. Individual results may vary, not available in all states. So call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191. If you need a personal bailout, call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191.
Welcome back to the Armed American Radio broadcast, October 4th edition. Can you believe it? October 4th, Halloween, right around the corner. Unbelievable. Time is flying right by. We are on live with Mr. Dane Von Breiken-Rookhart. Dane is the president of the U.S. Bill of Rights Foundation, and Mr. Dick Heller, the man himself of the Heller versus D.C. decision, the man that all of us as gun owners owe an unpayable debt of gratitude. And we've got a call from Roger. Roger is calling in from Bedford, Indiana. Roger, you are on Armed American Radio. Welcome to the broadcast. Have you got a question for us tonight?
Thank you very much. I was wondering if that Judge Sotomayor, has she ever indicated whether she thought the Second Amendment was something that applied to an individual or was just something for the military to use?
Roger, that's a great question for Dane, and I know you can run with that one, sir. Go for it.
Essentially, she avoided even talking about that. When she agreed with the decision of the First Circuit, is that when she was being confirmed and she was questioned about that, she did have a technical out, and the technical out was she would not tell you anything, inappropriately so, she would not tell you anything about what her views of the Second Amendment were in general, because judges and justices are not supposed to do that. They're supposed to wait until they have an actual case and controversy and actual evidence in front of them and then make the decision from that point. But, of course, we all kind of know where she's going to be headed. She's clearly from the liberal left, and she's no doubt, I would be very surprised if she voted for incorporation at all. But I can tell you that her position is, or at least her stated position coming out of the confirmation hearings, was that she was staying with the stare decisis, which is stare decisis means what the court had agreed to in the past. That, in other words, the history of the circuit that she was in had always said that it was a collective right and had a military connection and that sort of thing. So a lot of judges and justices, you know, They don't have to. I mean, she could have come out and said something different if she wanted to, but generally in the practice of law and with judges and justices, they pretty much try to stay with what is called the stare decisis, which is precedent, you know, with previous cases that were decided. And that was her way of getting out of saying what her view was of the Second Amendment. And technically, she did not really violate any rules. She clearly doesn't want to answer it. She doesn't want to give anybody any ideas about where she would go in confirmation. But she had a technical out, and she took it.
Roger, did we answer your question?
Yes. You know, I was wondering, that D.C. Gun ban was overturned, I think, by a 5-4 decision. If the gun ban people ever get another judge on there so they're in control 5-4, do you think that the D.C. ban will be reinstituted?
Not right away, but they will chisel around the edges. If we were to get, if one of the justices from the right were to resign or leave for whatever reason, and Obama was able to put in another judge, the court does not like to overturn itself overnight. It will overturn itself in enough time. I mean, there are books that you can read about how many times the court overrules itself and changes its way, but it does it over a long period of time. And but I do think it would happen. I think they would start. This is one of the reasons why I hope to see the incorporation occur under the privileges or immunities, because it's a much stronger position. And if it is approved only through the substantive due process, it's going to be a weaker decision and can be more easily attacked.
I sure do appreciate your time, fellas.
Roger, thank you so much for calling and for listening to us up in the great free state of Indiana. You've got some great gun laws up there. Thank you so much for joining us on Armed American Radio.
Thank you, pal.
You betcha. Appreciate it. Dane.
Yes.
Let's talk quickly about Sotomayor. There's been some talk about Sotomayor, and in fact, we discussed it over the weekend. Should she recuse herself because of her recent decision?
Well, I think that it would be better if she did. I don't think she has a technical obligation to do so. I don't think it's technically where she, you know, somebody would ever come back in and after she, so let's say the case moved ahead and she's stayed on it and ruled on it, and then somebody came in later and tried to challenge her taking it. She probably technically doesn't have to, but I think that she should. And I'll tell you why. Because first of all, it's still a 5-4 split. You still have the five justices that carried the day with the Heller decision. So she's not really needed. You don't really need to have her there because it's going to be 5-4 again, I'm sure. And I think that I think it would be a smart political move on her behalf to stay out of it and to say, look, the reason that I ruled the way I did is because of the precedent that had been set by the circuit that I was in, and but I don't think I should be up here judging my own decision. I mean, that was a, I mean, this is a case that goes directly to what the case was about. And for her to now suddenly, you know, she's jumped seats, she's left, you know, the circuit, now she's on the Supreme Court. I really think that she owes a debt and an obligation to us to stay out of the decision. She made her decision. She was a part of that decision that sent it to the Supreme Court. I think she should stay out of it.
I agree with that. Dick, what are your thoughts on that?
I listen to the master there.
I do, master. Too. Believe me, I do, too. I'm getting some emails about Dane that folks love having him on because they say he always sounds great on the radio. I can't say what they said on the email, but Dane, your insight is brilliant, and I really enjoy talking to it. I admire it very much. The interesting part about this is that here we have such a huge decision, and she's not going to recuse herself. We know that. We all know that. But we also know how she's going to vote. We think we know how she's going to vote. However, I want to challenge that for just a second. Do they not, Dane, have to remove the fact that this is a Second Amendment case from the very fact that there's that we have the incorporation issue here? Could not we be talking about the First Amendment as well as the Second Amendment? Do not they have to look at this and say, hey, we have to approach this the same way we approach free speech. Mayor Daley, and this is where this was what kills me about Paul Helmke, you know, the so-called incorporation issue. I don't think he'd call it a so-called incorporation issue if Mayor Daley in Chicago decided that he didn't want the Brady spewing their garbage on Chicago airwaves and newspapers because he didn't like what they had to say. Would they refer to it the same way? Or is it only because it's the Second Amendment that that so-called incorporation issue?
Well, yeah, I mean, the subject matter makes a difference. I mean, it's real easy to please everybody when you're talking about the First Amendment because everybody seems to, other than particular cases that come down the road, for the most part, everybody's happy with the First Amendment. Everybody wants it, and nobody is saying that we shouldn't have the freedoms that are given to us or the rights. Actually, they're not the freedoms. In fact, I'm misspeaking because it actually it's a right. It's a right because it fits in with the nature of the beast that we are, and we are human beings, and we live in a real world. We have to make decisions, and when we formed this country and promised ourselves a Republican form of government. And the promise was kept that there would be a Bill of Rights following in behind the ratification of the Constitution, and they did. They fulfilled that. And one of the reasons the Second Amendment was in there was because the Anti-Federalists insisted upon it. They said, any Bill of Rights absent the right to be armed as a citizen, because. Essentially, I mean, a lot of people don't like to hear this, and they think it's, antiquated thinking. But, technically, the reason that they wanted to be able to keep and bear arms and the reason that that first phrase is there in the Second Amendment, about a well-regulated militia being necessary to a free state, was because they wanted to be armed just in case this American experiment did not work. If things all went bad, if they turned into another King George, and this federal government became oppressive and started harming the people, they wanted an ability to fight back. Now, we've been around now over 200 years, and we're hoping that that won't be necessary anymore, although sometimes it makes you wonder. But the fact is that it's still there. It's still an important icon for us to have, if for nothing else. See, even though we never will have to strike out against our own oppressive government, even if we don't have to do that, it is still important that we are able to tell the world that the citizens of the United States are allowed to have arms for one of the reasons. There are a lot of reasons, self-defense and all that stuff. But one of the reasons being is to have the ability to fend off an oppressive central government.
I think spoken,
that's an extremely important issue.
Spoken like an expert that you are. That was an amazing way to close out the first hour of Armed American Radio. Mr. Heller, thank you so much for joining us and calling in. I know you're very busy. We appreciate it. You'll be on the program many times in the future. I can assure the listeners across the country that we'll hear more from you, and Dane, you as well also. Ladies and gentlemen, you betcha, guys. Stick around with us. Hour number two, we've got the one and only Michael Bain from Outdoor Channel Downrange TV coming up. He's going to talk with me and co-host with me for the hour. Ms. Nikki Gosar will be with me to talk about her husband's murderer's case coming up. We'll be right back with hour number two. Don't go anywhere.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org.